Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews. Today you're going to get to hear Will Glennie from the Juice Stop Franchise Opportunity. And the Juice Stop Franchise Opportunity attracts a wide variety of consumers, from executives to workers to students, all seeking a fast, nutritious, tasty meal. And this is part one of a two-segment interview. So enjoy, and we'll see you again with another segment.
Special guest, we're meeting with Will Glennie of the franchise Juice Stop. And Juice Stop stores attract a broad variety of consumers, ranging from executives to laborers to students, all seeking a quick, nutritious, tasty meal. Hey, Will, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, good today, Will. Will, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, who I believe you know, and I know, Don, you wanted to say hello to Will.
Yeah, hey, Will, I appreciate you coming on the show. As I've told you, Marty, Will and I have gotten to know each other a little bit from our franchise funding services, and Will's been in franchising a long time, so, yeah, we look forward to speaking to you today, Will.
I look forward to speaking with you both, and I'm honored to be here.
Thanks, Will. Yeah, well, again, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. You know, Don and I were saying earlier, we can't wait for you guys to hit the Northeast. You know, I understand you guys have come up with a product that tastes great and it's good for you at the same time.
Yeah, it's, you know, the juice and smoothie business is really starting to come into its own insofar as product development and product awareness, really. If you think back 20 years ago, it was almost non-existent, you know, primarily a California phenomenon more than anything else. And today, you know, juice and smoothie stores are really all over the country, even in, you know, cold climates. We have stores up as far north as Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So,
yeah, that's right. I see that. Yeah, that's fantastic. We'd like to start off with asking our guest where you're calling from today.
I'm calling from the beautiful Denver, Colorado.
Oh, there you go. We've had a lot of franchisors from that area, Don.
Right, it's a big franchising area, Will. Denver, it's franchisors, franchisees. It's a real growing market besides just being a beautiful city.
You know, it really is, and I think there's a few things that contribute to that, you know, that no one is really from Denver. Denver's kind of the new frontier. A lot of people from the Midwest move out here. A lot of people from the East and the Southeast come out here for the climate, for the mountains, and the lifestyle. And when they get here, they find out that there's only 11 Fortune 500 companies that are based here, compared to a similar city like St. Louis that might have 40 or 50 of those type companies and maybe a broader opportunity of work-type environments versus when you get here. You know, if you don't fit into one of those 11 existing Fortune 500 companies, you're really more in the entrepreneurial type lifestyle.
That's true.
Sounds like there's a lot of room for growth.
There really is. And, you know, there's, in addition to franchise chains, there's also some corporate-owned chains based here. You might be familiar with Chipotle and some others in that same space. So it's really definitely is a hotbed of activity and a great community of executives and, you know, management, middle management that get together on a quarterly basis. A lot of times it's the second Tuesday meetings, and it's a good network. It really is.
You're making me think about calling a real estate agent out there.
I got a few I could give you a name, a number.
All right. Well, what were you doing before getting involved with Juice Stop?
Well, I've been involved in franchising for just about 20 years. I started in the late 80s. I started out in the quick lube business with an outfit known in New Orleans as Speedy Oil Change and Tune-Up. Mm-hmm. And right out of college, where a lot of guys were going to become accountants and lawyers and doctors and what have you, I went into the franchise business primarily on the development side and did a lot of the real estate development, finance, and sales of franchises for that brand and helped establish a sub-franchising entity in three markets in the Southeast, the Northeast, and California, and developed about 100 franchises with that outfit. And then worked my way up to Vice President of Development National Sales for the company over the course of about 2.5 years. And going on from there, I spent some time with Mrs. Fields Cookies in the very early 90s. Mrs. Fields at the time had about 450, maybe 500 units. And we converted those units, or my team converted those units over the course of about a 5-year time to franchising, a very large, one of the earlier refranchising efforts, and really changed the dynamic of that organization. And while they are going through that, I acquired several of the stores with my wife out here in Colorado and participated in ownership on several down in Florida as well. And it was a really great experience, and worked with some wonderful people in the business at that company. And then I went on with those, the skill sets that I acquired by that time later in the 90s and joined a company called Pretzelmaker on the development side, which ultimately became acquired by Mrs. Fields Cookies. I also tried to acquire that entity on my own. And the group that I put together with to acquire Pretzelmaker came to me after the deal went to Mrs. Fields and said, hey, we invested in another outfit in the juice smoothie business, and we think it's in trouble, probably going to have to go through a dip in bankrupt. Would you like to run it? And I said yes, and ran it through a Section 363 in the bankruptcy, which is a pre-planned sale of the asset, really just using the bankruptcy court to deliver the ownership of the assets cleanly. And went in and out in 100 days, came out with, went in with about 80 units, out with about 40 units, debt-free, did a private round of equity, and really cleaned up the organization and reformatted the business practice, the supply chain, the fit and finish of the stores. And after that, or since then, that was about 7 years ago, we've been focused on developing out area directorship markets with that organization, as well as going out and doing one-off franchising in select markets, really trying to focus on the Sun Belt states. In addition to that, I established back in 2003 Brand Equity Development, which also does merger and acquisition, structured debt and equity raising, advisory on M&A in the industry, and have relationships with two other brands right now, New York Fresh Deli and Steve's Pizza, which are both franchise companies based out in Oceanside, California.
That's great. It sounds like a real entrepreneur yourself, Will.
And you had that at a young age. I mean, that's pretty amazing. By your mid-20s, you were, it seemed like you were heading up the franchise development, a franchise which is unusual at that young of an age. I deal with VP of franchise development for franchisors all around the country, as you know, Will, and that's unusual to find someone at your young age back then to be heading that up.
Right.
So I think you and I are similar in age. So you really gained a lot of great experience in franchising and then as an entrepreneur at a pretty early age.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a unique, people ask me what I do, and it kind of takes me a minute to describe it and to think about it. You know, you can say you're an entrepreneur, you can say you're in the franchise business and what have you, or you own brands. And, it's a great industry, but a lot of people aren't familiar with it, as you know, and I think your show is great because it gives a lot of exposure to not just being a franchisee, but also being a franchisor.
Right.
And what the differences are, and, I think that's really important.
Thanks.
Yeah, we're just trying to educate the people on the basics. It's not for everybody, and it's hard work, and just because you invest in a franchise, it's not automatic you're going to be successful. So that's the point Marty and I try to bring across, and that's why we wanted to have you on the show with all your experience. The people listening can learn a lot, Will. So tell us, you just went over several different things, and I mean, you really have done a lot at your age right now. Talk about specific a little bit about Juice Stop, and maybe you can describe the history of the organization for Juice Stop, Will.
Sure. Juice Stop was founded in Irvine, California in 1993 and was developed by two young guys who were trying to get a juice club franchise. They just graduated from UC Irvine, and two brothers, actually, and they were told they're too young and no experience, but they did have some money. The grandfather had left them some money, so they... Juice Club, as you may not know, is the former to Jamba Juice.
Mm-hmm.
Jamba Juice started out as Juice Club in San Luis Obispo and later reconcepted as Jamba Juice. And these two gentlemen, 1903, went out and started the first juice stop right off the campus of UC Irvine. Did phenomenal sales right out of the chute. It was a very sports-themed concept, primarily because the two brothers were both good athletes, weightlifters, baseball players. The at that time, girlfriend, later to be wife of the founder, TJ, was a tennis player. So all of the drink names were named after sports moves. Sports moves like a Grand Slam or Ace or Double Axel or whatever the theme might be. And then, of course, the recipe would be underneath the drink name in terms of the prop that goes into it. And they really caught a lot of traction with this young, suburban, Orange County-based customer and grew to about 30 units in California. There later on was a dispute between family members and ownership, which led to ultimately to some of their financial problems, but at the unit economics have always maintained constant and were never really impacted by the parent company's issues at that time. And they had grown from California out to Colorado and into about a half a dozen other states over the course of about a 5 or 6 year period, got into financial trouble, and that's really when I took over. What I didn't mention earlier is we restructured the company after the bankruptcy deal, and I ended up with the majority interest in the company. So yeah. That's more or less the history of it.
And how would you describe the franchise system now for JuStop, Will?
The franchise system is you guys have talked about something that's very, very important, and that is that franchising in the first instance is not for everyone. And not everybody that gets a franchise is successful.
Right.
And I would describe JuStop as the anti-growth franchise. And I would describe it that way for a couple of reasons. And the first one would be that the opportunity is unique to having a very significant seasonality impact, meaning that this time of year when the leaves are falling off the trees, sales are going down dramatically, and we have a very sensitive opportunity in that when you open a store, you cannot open it going into the winter. You got to open your store early spring, and that's it. There's no question about it. So development, we can sell franchises all year round. We just can't open them until late February, March, or April, so they have the proper ramp-up time in the first instance. The second thing is that we don't have an addictive quality. I don't need to tell anybody what time to get up in the morning and get a cup of coffee, right? It's the last unregulated addictive drug being sold in America. Smoothies tend to be good for you. We put real fruit, non-fat frozen yogurt, in some instances non-dairy products. I mean, really good, healthy products go into a 24-ounce cup, blended to order. And that, people really enjoy that, but that's doing something good for you. And that's not something people like to get in the habit of doing. No one likes to go to the gym. We know it's good for you. The doctor says 20 minutes of cardio is what you need, but you're not going to do it every day. You do drink coffee every day.
Right.
Right?
True. Absolutely.
So that's another, the way we build our business is different. So we're looking for people that are aligned with that type of opportunity, that understand the business dynamic. Not a bad business. It's just a different business. It's not open. Sandwich shops tend to open up and ramp up to their top-line sales in the first 12, 14 months. In 12 to 14 months, we're in the first tier of our sales, not in the most solid position. So we have a longer runway. However, when we do build our clients, we do build our customer base, we tend to keep them longer. And we tend to have more consistency once we're established.
Yeah, I like your slow growth approach. I know we
right.
talked about it, we've spoken in the past, Will. I think that's just a smart approach. Make sure you're getting the right type of person to maximize the possibility of having a failed franchise store. I know on the financing side, our lenders don't like that, but it seems like you're much more careful finding the right fit, slower growth, and having very successful shops.
Well, here's one of the things that you have to remind yourself when you're developing a business like this on the franchise side. There's a lot of people that get into franchising, and, they come up with their own concept, and, it's resonating well with the customers, they're doing really well financially, and now they want to go into franchising, something they've never done before in their entire life. They generally have never done what they were doing currently in the current business before, but they've become experts at it. Now they're selling franchises, and now they're being told you got to do 2 a month or 4 a month, this, you know, some competition and all these things. And I'm thinking to myself, going, that's interesting. You've never dealt a store that opened and then later closed and ended up in the family being divorced over the financial trauma, and you've never really seen how bad can be, or have you ever been sued? You've never been down this potentially dangerous path. That's not really, you know, doing anybody any favors. So, you know, and then on the flip side of that, I have to look at other great companies out there like Starbucks. You guys stated earlier in the show how long it took some of the most powerful brands in the world to cross certain thresholds or milestones in terms of number of units open.
Right.
And, you know, it's important for a franchisor to recognize that, yeah, competition is going to come no matter what you do. If you grow to 1,000 units in 6 months, you're still going to have competition. The question is, can that 1,000 units that you grew to in 6 months stay open? How many of those can you retain? Because we're not storming the beach here and throwing bodies to stop the Germans. We're trying to grow a business.
Right.
So we need to be sensitive to the needs of the franchisee and make sure that we don't get ahead of ourselves. One of the greatest quotes I've heard in the business is, never get better at opening stores than running them.
Interesting, yeah.
Right.
That should resonate loudly with every franchisor out there, because we have an obligation to give everybody the greatest opportunity at success. And if we're too focused on selling franchises and not focused enough on developing products and quality marketing and driving top-line sales, it's just a matter of time.
Absolutely. Well, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. So I think